Thank you, David, for reading that scripture from Hebrews. I think most of us, anyway, that are parents, I think the modern term these days is those are teachable experiences. So you have teachable experiences throughout your life. I had the privilege to be in the Boy Scouts, and I had many teachable experiences in the Boy Scouts. I was fortunate enough to be with a troop that we went camping quite a bit, almost every month. We went canoeing down the Colorado River. We went camping in the snow, camping in the desert. So we went camping quite a bit. And at the very end of our camping trip, we would always clean up the campground. We called it policing the campground or the area. And when I was younger, that was not one of the more enjoyable things that we liked about it. It was usually at the end of the trip, you were tired and you wanted to go home. You did not want to pick up trash and other people's trash when you were done. But one time when I was a little bit older, I was actually with the scoutmaster when he was checking in at one of the particular campgrounds that we were at. And I remember the ranger saying that it was always enjoyable for us to be there because the campground always looked better than when we left. And so, as Christians, we kind of have that same attitude because we're not working for the world. We're working for God. So we have a different attitude, and we have a different way of looking at things. So this afternoon, I'd like to take a look at going the second mile. In the first century Romans, it's kind of interesting how a lot of lessons dovetail into each other. And Galen was talking about Roman culture this morning. So in the first century, Romans could force Jews to carry their goods for 1 mile because that was the law at the time. After the Jews had carried the Roman soldiers' goods for 1 mile, they could tell them that that's far enough and that they weren't going to carry it any further. We have an example of this when Jesus was making his way with his crucifixion in Luke chapter 23, verse 26. Luke chapter 23, verse 26, and I'll try to go slower on those. Cheryl, her feedback to me was I go too fast through the scriptures, so I'm trying to slow down. Luke 23, 26 says, "Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon the Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus." It is from this concept that Jesus taught how Christians should be willing to go the second mile. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 39. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 39, it says, "But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." Notice Jesus gives us three different examples which teach the Christian to go beyond the first mile or the first step and to continue on the second mile or the second step. Jesus tells us not to resist or oppose an evil person and gives us an example. He says if they strike you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one as well. You have to understand that it was a great insult in the first century to strike someone on the right cheek. Most people would not tolerate such an insult, and they would retaliate. But Jesus is telling us to not retaliate. Don't give in to revenge. Instead, turn your other cheek to them as well. Go the second mile. The second thing he tells us is that the first mile or first step would be if someone sues you and takes your tunic, or take your money, then give them your cloak as well. The giving of your cloak would be the second mile. Again, this has in mind not resisting an evil person. And then finally, the third point, Jesus says, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with him too. In all three of these examples, Jesus is teaching you and I that we are to go beyond the first mile or the first step. So this afternoon we are going to examine several principles in which we are to go the second mile. So So let's take a look at the first, which is Bible study, studying our Bible. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Here we see the first mile or the first step in a Bible study. Paul wanted Timothy to study God's word so that he can know what it says and be able to use the knowledge to combat false doctrine. Every Christian should be studying God's word to learn more about him and his wonderful love, and to make sure that we are living our lives in an acceptable manner before God. Unfortunately, there are some Christians today who don't even go this first mile in Christianity. There are so many churches out there that are slowly and surely moving away from the true word of God. They're starting to base their worship to God based on how they feel and what they think will draw more people in. There's a great move today of people trying to make the church an entertainment. Instead of hearing a sermon from the word of God, you will hear a lesson that will come from all kinds of neat little stories. Now, there's nothing wrong with using stories as an example that you can sit through a whole service and you might hear one or two scriptures from the Bible. I think this is sad, because whenever you and I make ourselves the center of the worship instead of God, then we have lost the true meaning of true worship. And the reason why so many people are changing the way things are done is because they're not embracing the first mile of Christianity by studying the word of God. Some were having this problem that we can see in the first century in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. So it's not uncommon for people to have this situation. They had it back then, and we have it now. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So there is a great danger of not growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Also in Hebrews, in the same chapter, in the same book, different chapter, chapter 2, verse starting in verse 1, Hebrews 2, 1, it says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" So a Christian must be willing to go the first mile before they can ever hope to make it to the second mile. We find the second mile described in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Not only did Paul want Timothy to study the word of God, he wanted him to teach it as well, and to commit it to other faithful people who would in turn teach it to others. This would include him teaching them by word and by example. We can see this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." That is what we are to do as Christians today. We don't just study God's word, we need to live it and be a good example, and by teaching it when we have the opportunity. The next aspect I'd like to look at is worship. So let's look at the first mile, as Paul tells us in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, about worship. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Every Christian should meet of the first day of the week to worship God. We should look at this not as something that we have to do, but something that we can do. Again, there are a lot of Christians who do not embrace this first mile or first step of Christianity because many will be at the church services and only show up maybe once a month or two or three times a year. People who attend sporadically like this simply do not have their priorities in the right order. They only come when they feel a need and they want maybe to see their friends. Again, this was a problem that they had in the first century, so it's not anything really that new. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, Hebrews 10, 24, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." When Christians decide to neglect the church, what Jesus purchased with his own blood, we miss out on many wonderful opportunities to worship God and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We also miss the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper and give of our means, as the Word of God commands us to do. We must strive to do these things for the first mile of Christianity. And if we are going to come close to the second mile of Christianity, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Not only are we to assemble with the saints on the first day of the week, we are to challenge ourselves to put God's kingdom first in every aspect of our lives. This would include making it to Bible class so that we can learn more about God's word and how he wants us to worship. This means that we will do our best to be involved with the church and the activities that are available and try to spend as much time as we can with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to spread the good news to those who are around us. Paul speaks of some Christians who went that second mile in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Notice they gave beyond their ability. You see, God does not want Christians to be satisfied with just doing a part of the way. He wants them to go all the way and give their best, just as God gave us his best. Let's also take a look at sin. The first step, or the first mile in regards to sin, is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Every Christian should rejoice in the fact that God loves us enough that he has provided a way that we can have our sins forgiven. God knows that we're going to fall short of his glory from time to time, as we can see in Romans 3:23. But thanks to the wonderful grace that he offers us through his son's death on the cross, once we become a Christian, if we want to be forgiven of our sins, we simply repent and confess them to God, and our sins will be forgiven and forgotten. You can also see this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." While this is a wonderful blessing that every Christian has access to, I'm afraid some Christians fail to embrace the grace of God. It's likely that they are prideful to humble themselves before God because they don't want to admit that they have sinned. Others may fail to repent and confess their sin to God because they are not ready to give up the sin that they are in. We need to realize this is a dangerous situation to place yourself into, because we know that sin separates us from God and brings about spiritual death. So the second mile that Christians should work towards is found in Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Paul is saying that you and I should forsake sin since we died to it. The more we grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord, the less we are going to sin. You see, it's easy for a Christian to get the mindset that they can have every single sin without trying to resist the sin. They might say, "Well, I just confessed my sin and it will be forgiven, and there is no need for me to try to resist my temptations," when they are so easily forgiven of them. Again, this is a dangerous mindset to have, and it is not what the Bible teaches, as we can see in the same book, Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 15. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 15, it says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" You see, if you are not fighting against your temptation every day, you are allowing sin to be your master, and it will lead you to spiritual death. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." As Christians, we need to have the attitude that David did when he said in Psalm 101:3, it says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." Let's take a look at forgiveness. Forgiveness is another one. So the first step, or the first mile of forgiveness, is found in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 3. Luke chapter 17, verse 3, it says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." The first mile is something that some Christians have a great difficulty with. If a person does you wrong and just tears you up inside and makes you feel like you've aged 10 years because of the horrible things perhaps they did to you or your loved ones, this passage teaches us that if they come to you and repent and ask you for forgiveness, you must forgive them and do your best to forget the awful thing that they did against you. From a human perspective, that is a very difficult thing to do. But notice what Jesus says. If someone sins against you seven times in one day and comes to us and repents, we must forgive them. Some of us have a hard enough time to forgive someone that they've once, much less seven times in one day. However, this is what Jesus is commanding us to do. And if we want to glorify him, we need to obey this command no matter how difficult it is for us to do. We must understand that God is not asking us to do something that he is not willing to do himself. Think about it. You and I are sinners, and we deserve the wrath of God. But God loves us, and because of his wonderful grace, he has provided for us to have our sins removed. Once we have obeyed the gospel and have been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, all we have to do to obtain forgiveness is to repent and confess our sins to God, and we will be forgiven no matter how many times we sin. That brings us to the second mile of forgiveness, which is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. It says, "And Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.'" You see, just as God is willing to forgive us over and over again, we are to follow this example and to forgive those who sin against us and repent over and over again. There is no limit on how many times we are to forgive someone, and Jesus makes it very clear the importance of forgiving others in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And the other aspect, finally, is love. Our first mile comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. "You have heard that it is said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" Now, this is something that is fairly easy. Most of the world does this. It is easy to love your neighbor or your friend and to hate your enemy. Even non-Christians can do this. But let's continue reading and learn what the second mile is. In verse 44. In verse 44 it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so?" Here we have another example, excellent example, of how Christians are different than the world. How they are to go above and beyond what most people would be willing to do. You see, it is easy to love your friends and to love loved ones. Everyone can do that. But not only are Christians to love their neighbors, they are to love their enemies. Again, this is another one of those concepts that is very difficult to do, to embrace. But if you're going to be pleasing to God, we need to try and love our enemies. Again, God is not asking us to do something that he is not willing to do himself. Notice he makes the sun to rise on the evil, on the good, and he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And when you think about it, we have all been the enemy of God at some point in our lives, because we have all sinned, and all sin makes us an enemy of God. Just God loved us and gave us his Son, and we are to reach out and to love our enemy. So we have looked at several points and examined how as Christians, we must strive to not only go the first mile in our Christianity, but also go the second mile. God has left us many examples of why he went out of his way to help us out of our debt of sin, and how we should follow his example and always look for ways that we can go out of our way to help those around us and to glorify God. So, when you can go the extra mile, when you can go the second mile, that's what you should do. If you are subject to God's invitation, we ask that you stand as we come and as we sing.